So when I came here, you know, and took you with me, I didn't think that it will be such a hard burden on me. When you compare it to Bhantat, you know, I just see you twice or three times a week, for an hour or for 2 hours, and that's about it. But here, I meet you every day, twice, at least twice a day, and I have to look after your needs and how you behave. And that is much more burden on me. I thought in the beginning, you know, we're just trying to live in harmony as a community, and I don't have to tell you a lot. Just open your eyes and see how things are done properly. If you're not sure, you ask. Open your ears, you know, to listen carefully to what I say or what I hint at. I don't want to repeat myself over and over again. I mean, you know, that is a burden you put on me. So, you know, please lessen this burden and listen very carefully when I say something, when I hint something, and when I say this is not proper or this you should not do. It all falls back on me. And last night I did receive a scolding. That I didn't look properly after you, that I didn't teach you right, you know, how to behave properly in a monastery. And that is, you know, even if it's an empty monastery, it still is a monastery. It's a place of reverence, it's a place of worship. So people come here, Thai people come here, you know, these Thai people built this place. They offered it to the monks. And they come here, when they come here, now they pay respect to the Buddha Rupa here, to the Buddha statue here in the sala, and to the Buddha statue up in the cave. That's where they brought it, and that's where they worship it. But they are not the only ones that worship it. There are other beings in the realms that we might not know of, you know, that worship it as well. And if there are some four Westerners coming here, you know, and just messing up this place, they are not happy with it. And it seems, you know, that it happened because I was a little bit lax, that, you know, that you just, because of not knowing, it doesn't matter what, or because I didn't teach you properly, that you messed up this place. So, yesterday I told you already a little bit, but today I will go more into detail. I mean, it all comes back to the basic. Eh? Before we even start our practice, before we start meditation, we have to fulfill three requirements. And that is the requirement of respect, it's a requirement of gratitude, and it's a requirement of generosity. These are the foundations before we can even lay foundation on our practice. And the foundation of our practice is Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. That means the five precepts. And for you, it means that when you are here, I do ask you now to keep the eight precepts. And that means no eating after midday. No wearing ornaments or using perfumed or perfumed soap or things like that. And no sexual conduct at all. These are the eight precepts. And samadhi is the training of the mind, you know, to get concentration on one point, be it the Buddha or be it the breath, or be it in the beginning, be it the combination of the Buddha and the breath. And then once we get a little bit of concentration, we can start the way of wisdom. But if our primary foundation is not good enough, then we will fall back then our whatever we do in the field of sila, samadhi and panya, you know, will not have good fruits. And the first thing is respect. I mean, we are here in a monastery. Although, you know, I'm pretty much lishaya, you know, I'm not really asking much. Because I don't want to ask. If people don't have to respect, you know, then just, you know, find somebody else who respect. It's not me, you know, that you respect, but it's a role that I'm playing. It's a role of a monk that can be venerated. That's why it's called venerable. You normally address each other as venerable. When the people come, you know, they address us, the lay people come, as address us as venerable. When my mother heard it the first time, she said, "Why are you better than me?" I said, "It's just a simple reason. I, for the last 13 years, or since I am a monk, or even before, I trained my heart to become clean of the unwholesome things. And I trained my wholesome things to develop so that my heart gets cleaner. That's why I'm a venerable at that. That's why people, you know, venerate me, or can venerate me. Because I try to reduce the evil things in my heart, and I try to to develop the wholesome things in my heart. That is one thing. And the second thing is that I follow 227 rules. 227 rules of higher morality. It's not the five rules that the five precepts that are valid for lay people. No, it is the higher morality. And that includes every aspect of our life as a monk. And that is just the sole reasoning, because I'm practicing it and I'm really adhering to it, and I'm trying not to fail into keeping these five precepts, and I'm not trying to fail into developing good and getting rid of my evil. That's why people can venerate me. That's why I'm a venerable. And I mean, you know, even my mother saw this reason, you know, and then she quieted up. Because, you know, as a lay person, you don't have to do these things. And you know the moment you try to do it, you know it is difficult. It is difficult to get rid of one's evil thought and one evil's intention or one evil's action. I mean evil not in the sense of completely evil in the sense of the world, but, you know, unwholesome. I mean just letting out the anger on somebody else, you know, is an unwholesome action. And as a monk, you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to let out your anger. You're not supposed to do this or to do that. And we are very, and when you look at our lifestyle, you know, we are completely dependent on the lay people. Whatever we have, we get from the lay people. This sala is made by the lay people for the monks and for themselves. So that's what we also need to respect. We are dependent as monks and as lay people, you know, you as practitioners. We are dependent on the lay people to give us food, to give us shelter, to give us medicine, and all the other things. So we treat these things that we get with the utmost respect. And we treat the sala, you know, that is a place of worship, with the utmost respect. That mentions not hanging up our laundry in the sala. Keeping the things when we are staying at the sala, not leaving this place in a mess. I mean, tidy it up before you leave the sala. Even if you go to the toilet. Just tidy it up. When you leave for longer, you know, make it a very nice place so that other people, you know, don't take notice of it. You know, they just don't see it, you know, that it doesn't stick in their eyes. Because the moment it is something messy, it really pops into the eyes. So when we leave this place, when we live in the sala, and some of you have to live in the sala, then we keep our things tidy. very neat. And one thing, you know, we never put up in the sala, our socks and underwear and shoes. This we just can't put up in the sala, you know, it's not improper. Also our laundry. Another thing that is not proper is having food in the sala. Any kind of food items, you know, should be stored down in the kitchen. What is allowed is coffee, is tea, is sugar, you know, all this medicinal stuff that the monks are allowed to eat in the afternoon or have in the afternoon. That is okay. That is fine. But the rest, you know, we just keep downstairs in the kitchen. And then the rest, you know, also the bags that we have, you know, we keep everything nice and neat. Just to make other people, when they come, you know, just like yesterday, and they saw this mess, you know, I mean, something in their heart must have been upset. And then, of course, you know, the scolding doesn't go to you, the scolding goes to me. Now, how can you do that? How can you let them live like this? This is not proper, and you know it, it's not proper. So it all falls back on me. So I want you, you know, when you to stay to me, to become much less of a burden, you know, and just open your eyes and see what needs to be done and what is proper. And if you don't know if it's proper, you know, then just go ahead and ask. I mean, I said I'm a burden, you know, you are a burden for me. But I took it up, you know, I want to help you in your practice, I want to help you develop the meditation. So I took you with me. Actually not knowing, you know, that this is such a burden. And I explained to you that, you know, the disciple is the burden of the teacher and the teacher is the burden of the disciple. You know that a monk, you know, just cannot handle things by himself. Whatever, you know, whatever goes into his mouth needs to be offered. So the things that are here, the things that are given to the monk, you can use it. I don't mind it, you know, and that is just a common practice also in Bhantat. But just be mindful that everything has to be offered back to the monk. So the monk received it and he gives it to the lay people. You know, to have a share in it, you know, and I don't mind to share everything that we have with you. Everything that includes, you know, that includes candles or incense or whatever. Or mosquito snacks, or, you know, whatever, you know. It means coffee and or tea or whatever. I'm happy to share with every one of you. But I mean, you know, just put yourself a little bit back and think about the needs of a monk. Normally when we live, like we live in Bhantat, you know, we do have our own separate ways, you know, where we can store things and they are only available for the monk so that we don't have to bother the lay people. But when I come here with you, that is too much of a hassle. So I want to share everything that is here with you. So then please take care of me as well, you know. Look after me, you know. Don't think about yourself, you know, I don't want, you know, I just want to drink water, you know. So the monk just gets water drink. Even if there is coffee and tea that is offered by the lay people, or there are some orange juice, or there are some other things, you know, that were offered by the lay people. Because you think only of yourself, you don't even get the idea that maybe he wants something. If I don't want it, you know, I just let you know. I don't need it, you know, water is just enough, or just the coffee is enough, or this is just enough. You know. I mean, you know, take it a little bit too hard, you know, that also I'm a burden to you. You have to look after me, like the lay people normally do look after me. They look after me, you know, putting food into my bowl. They look after me, you know, preparing me or giving me candles when I need candles or this or that. You know. They normally do ask, you know, is there any need of anything at all? You know? Are you run out on something? You know, are you run out of soap? And then, you know, if you run out of soap, you say, yes, we run out of soap. Oh, we run out of candles. Then there's a need for candles. Or this or that. So it is, I suggested, you know, in the beginning I didn't want to, you know, but things have become otherwise. So I suggested that you take this a little bit into account. That you do need to look after me. In the ways, you know, of hot drinks or whatever, you know, whatever their medicinal stuff is here. Not just thinking about yourself, you know, I want this, you know, and when you want this, you bring it up. If you don't want it, you don't bring it up. Or you, if you want it, you know, you drink it. And if you don't want it, you know, yeah. Where am I? Huh? Just ask yourself. And keep this place, please, and keep this place. It's a place of worship. Keep it as a place of worship. Or reverence. Reverence to the Lord Buddha. Without the Lord Buddha, we wouldn't be able to sit here. Without the Lord Buddha, we wouldn't have all his teaching. We wouldn't know what to go, in which direction to go, what to do, and what results we can expect. We wouldn't know the Four Noble Truths. We wouldn't know the truth of dukkha. We would not know the truth of the origin of dukkha. We would not know that there's an end of dukkha. We just would live in our heap of misery. And we would know the way to go, the path of Sila, Samadhi and Panya. So people, even if they can't go this way, you know, that at least they like to, you know, pay respects to the Lord Buddha. So in the next life they might go on the path of practice. They might go on the path of Sila, Samadhi and Panya. Or they may study the teachings of the Lord Buddha. That's why they pay respect in this life. Or that's why they give, you know, they see, you know, that the monk's life is a holy life. And it is a holy life. Just think about it, you know, lots of lay people just can't do it, live a holy life in this sense. When you look at our roots, our life is very, very, very restricted. Especially the moment it comes to the world, it is completely restricted. We completely dependent on the help of lay people. However, if it comes to practice, it's completely open. There's no restriction at all. We can do 18 hours of practice or 20 hours of practice or even 24 hours of practice if we want. We can do practice in a cave, we can do it, practice in a monastery, we can do it on the top of a mountain or in the middle of the forest or just in the open. Wherever we want, we can do practice. The practice of samadhi, the practice of walking meditation or the practice of sitting meditation. That is completely open. But in the needs of the body, we're completely dependent on the lay people. So I do want you to consider that a little bit. Living with me together like this is different from living together with me in Bantan. In the forest monastery of Bantan, you know, everything is already set out. You know, it's a monastery for monks. And they're living a lot of monks together. So there you don't really have to do it. But here, you know, just, you know, me as one monk, you know, you have to do it. If you're not there, you know, then it's something different. The coffee and the tea, you know, and the hot water I can boil myself. And so there's no need. But living together as a community between lay people and monks, you know, it is, you have to take some responsibility. And also if lay people, you know, there are not many lay people are coming up there. Because it's quite steep and the people don't like it. But sometimes lay people come up then. And just give them the space, you know, to worship the Lord Buddha. Don't forbid anything. It's their place, they built it. Maybe not they personally, but the lay people built it for themselves and built it first for the monks, but also for themselves. You see the lay people, you know, coming down in the sala, down in the village. They come and pay respect to the Buddha. They pay respect to the Dhamma, and they pay respect to the Sangha. So this is one thing, you know. This whole topic all turns around respect. Generosity is the ability to give, you know, give a part of oneself, or to give material things, or to give service. It doesn't matter. That is generosity. Are we willing, you know, how far are we willing to go? Or does this go too far, or that go too far, you know, I don't want to do it. This is generosity. Now think about for yourself. Now in the gratitude. Gratitude is the gratitude. First of all, it starts with the gratitude towards our parents who raised us for 18 years without, you know, we didn't pay them anything to raise us. They took care for us in every aspect of the life, being in a bodily form, being in mental form, being in educational form. And then the teachers in our schools, if we appreciate it or not, you know, they try to teach us something. They tried us to teach the ways of the world, like just like our parents, the ways of the world. And then come other teachers. Some of them we pay them, but still we need to be grateful to them, because they took us on. They taught us, even though, you know, we exchanged some money for it or we exchanged some materials for it. They still, you know, they still can refuse it. No, I don't want to teach you. And the spiritual teachers, they don't charge you anything. They just take you on and guide you on the way. Guide you to the way to your own happiness. If it's a spiritual teaching in the line with the Lord Buddha, it's the way to your own happiness. And it is, as I said, it is quite a burden. I mean, my own practice doesn't go on. Because all the moment, you know, all these 2 weeks, and I do have to look after you more than I thought that I would. I thought, you know, maybe once in a week I give you a talk, but that just doesn't seem to be enough. It's much more care, you know, I have to look after you. Things that you don't know, you know, it's not a blame. What is to blame that you don't open your eyes and see and look, you know, how are people doing it in the way, how are they doing it, how are the lay people down in the village, you know, open your eyes, how they offer things to the monks. How they treat the monks. They do treat them with respect. They're not getting cocky in the presence of monks. What happens, you know, when they go out of the monastery, you know, they might forget all the attitudes. But we are not going out of the monastery. We're just going to another place. Look at it, or look at the lay people, you know, some of the Western lay people who come here for a long time. They have adapted already. I mean, open mind, you know, having an open mind, having open eyes, and having open ears, you know, helps us on the path of practice. It's fostering our mindfulness. I mean, how does he do it? How is it correct? Look at it. It is one of the general teaching in Bhantat. Not only for monks, it's also for lay people. Open their eyes and look how they do it. How it is proper to do it. If you don't know if it's proper, you know, just don't do it because you think, you know, that is the way, you know. And don't do it sloppy. I mean, if you venerate the role that I'm playing, I don't mean, you know, you don't have to venerate me personally. You know, that's no concern to me. But the role that I'm playing as a monk, as one person who tries to get rid of unwholesome things in his heart and tries to develop the wholesome things in his heart and tries to stick to the 220 monk rules as tight as possible. I mean, that is already venerable enough. So I lost my step. Just disappeared. Just don't get sloppy with your attitude. Or careless. I mean, sloppy or careless. And also, if there are things, like yesterday the lay people brought quite a few things, then it is meant for the whole community. If people down, you know, if the Ajahn down in the Wat gives you things, then it's for the whole community. Just don't take it on, you know, just for yourself. It doesn't mean that you don't want to share it, you know. But, you know, leave it in the common place. And the Sala is the common place for all the things, you know. Whoever needs something, it could take something from there. If you need it, you know, just take it from there. If you run out, you need, just let me know. And as I said in the beginning, I mean, this is the foundation where we can build up. This gratitude, respect, and generosity is the foundation on which we can build our meditation hut of Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. I mean, don't treat it lightly. And I try to explain you, I hope I explained it in a little depth today. For you to understand it. Of course it was partly my fault. Because I thought we can live in harmony in a group, but you know, it just doesn't work out. So, please take these words to your heart. And from now on, you know, keep this sala, at least the sala. And also your heart, you know. They are not only beings, they are not only human beings, but there are other beings, you know, they look at you. I forgot it, you know, when I invited you to this place. So I mean, just keep your things even neatly in your heart, you know, where you are, in your meditation heart or meditation cave or meditation place. Just don't be careless anywhere. When you walk up in here, you know, just not be careless. It's a place of reverence. It's a place of worship. From the Thai lay Buddhists, you know, or the Thai monks, or other beings that live up in a higher realm. So please take this into mind. And with this I end the talk.